both like to go to raves with the Bosa brothers. Here's Rothman and Ice.
All right, we come back and tell you that the Browns have placed tight end David Njoku on IR with a knee injury.
Come on.
My goodness, can they not? I mean, the guy that flashed the most for them in the loss, like the silver lining to the blowout, goes on IR. All right, 2020 rears its ugly head again. We go to the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline, bringing our friend from CBS Sports, College Football, and 24/7 Sports Director of Scouting. He is Barton Simmons. Barton, good to have you.
What's up, guys? Thanks for having me.
We got a weird opt-out today, and I say weird in that we figured we were so close to getting all the information that anybody from Ohio State that would have opted out would have done it before. We get a Sean Wade opt-out this morning with, I guess, a little crack in the door if the Big Ten comes back with something that he deems worthy that maybe he would revisit it. But your reaction to it?
You know, I just wonder if he's sort of catching wind of what the stipulations may be in terms of what a season looks like for Ohio State. I mean, look, he's probably a first-round pick. I mean, he's certainly a first-round candidate. And if he goes back and plays without an opportunity to compete for a national championship, I'm not going to say it's not worth it, because he certainly can solidify himself as a first round pick. But when you look at just like the expected top 10 in the NFL draft, the top 10 picks, maybe two of them are going to play this year. Depending on how this thing plays out with the Big Ten, obviously. But this makes me wonder what all the information is that Sean Wade has, because obviously he wanted to play. Obviously his father led the charge with all that, the protests and that sort of thing. But I'm cautiously optimistic that something positive will come down soon in terms of Big Ten playing. But I wonder what Sean Wade has heard in terms of what a season would look like.
Yeah, it's a good question, Barton. And here in Buckeye Nation, man, a lot of people, you know, that are on the optimistic side are, you know, fast forwarding to, well, the amount of games, the college football playoff, that situation there, because, you know, if the Buckeyes don't catch up to the ACC or SEC with number of games, in your opinion, is there a number that they would need to get to legitimately have them in that conversation as a Final Four team?
Yeah, I mean, the SEC has got their 10 conference games, and does the Big Ten have to get to 10? I don't think they have to get to 10, but is 8 enough? I think that's probably the question. Is 8 enough? Feels like 9 should be enough. 9's a conference slate for the SEC in a typical year. But if you can only squeeze in 8, you know, what does that look like in terms of comparing and contrasting that with what the rest of the country has undertaken? I think they backed themselves into a corner for sure, but I still think, again, like we've seen seasons in the history of college football where very odd schedules have had to be paired up to create a national champion. Let's go back to the early 1900s. Let's go back to the late 1800s. Whatever you have to do, like this is like a once in a century type of situation that we're in right now. So you might as well just try to take the situation at face value, understand the circumstances, and just try to find the best four teams like we always do. And so, I'm hopeful that the Big Ten can create some sort of a scenario where, like, if they're only playing like 6 games, then, yeah, maybe that's not really quite going to be up to it. But if they can get up to 8, somewhere close to the 10 that the rest of the country is pursuing, I got to believe that they should have a shot, particularly when, we're probably looking at a realistic scenario where most teams can't get up to that 10 anyways, based on whatever, some cancellations that might pop up along the way. So it's going to be fascinating.
Well, it will be, and we hope we get to have that argument, right? We hope we get that debate. That's what the Big Ten is hoping for. And if we hear that they'll restart October 17th, and what if Michigan and Michigan State are opting out or don't play or gave it a no vote, then I'm curious how you would view, whatever a season Ohio State has, even though we know they're incredibly talented, they don't get one game to burn, though, right? I mean, like there's – this is going to be the hardest year of all, right, to make up for getting stung because, A, you wouldn't have enough games, and maybe you won't even have enough resume power. So of all the years, do you think, like trying to pour it on teams or making statements in the games that they will have to play if they do, how important do you think that'll, you know, come into play?
I think, I think it's all on the table is if the committee acknowledges that there isn't some, you know, cap on or minimum games that's going to be that they will decide from in terms of the committee. Obviously, you're not going to run out of the score if you're not in the mix for a national championship. But if you only have seven opportunities or something like that, and you still have an opportunity to get in, technically speaking, then absolutely, especially if you don't have a Michigan-type program with an opportunity to build a resume off of. So, I think all that's in play. Frankly, I think all that's in play anyways, most years. Like, I think that the eyeball test is huge. And I think if you're not trying to win margin of victory and you're a playoff contender, like, you're doing it wrong. And that might be, you know, the wrong perspective to have, but I think it's living in reality of the committee being a subjective group that sees a big score and, you know, that's logged into their brain. So, I think that's probably going to be part of it. When you mentioned the Michigan deal, I mean, that I talked to a coach in Michigan a week or so ago, and, you know, this was not long after Jim Harbaugh said that, you know, they could be ready to play in 2 weeks. And the coach was like, he wasn't lying. Like, we're ready to play in 2 weeks. And that would be quite a thing if Michigan, who's probably practicing as hard as anybody right now, you know, isn't able to play. I think that'd be a hard one to swallow for Jim Harbaugh. Frankly, I'm not so sure that aside from Ohio State, Michigan, and Penn State, I'm not sure who all in the Big Ten is really practicing as if a season is going to be 2 or 3 weeks away right now. But I think that those teams are, and I think that tells you a little something about how they feel about their chances if a season were to get underway.
Yeah, no doubt. Bart, I did want to get your take on some of the stuff that, you know, went down this weekend heading out to Norman, Oklahoma. Is Spencer Rattler the next big-time quarterback in line for Lincoln Riley? I get the opponent, who that was, but you look at what he did in a short amount of time. It was really impressive. Your thoughts on Spencer Rattler and what Lincoln Riley's got cooking in that quarterback room over the last couple of years down there at Oklahoma?
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. Like, this will sound hyperbolic, and it might sound like a hot take or an overreaction, but I think that this is true. Like, this, I feel confident saying this. Spencer Rattler has the best arm talent of any quarterback Lincoln Riley has coached. I think Kyler Murray, given his legs, you could argue that he is more talented, holistically speaking, than Spencer Rattler because of that added dynamic. But in terms of just the arm talent, I think people will see this. When they see Spencer Rattler, he's got all the arm and all the fluidity as a passer you could ever want, and instincts and those sort of things. That doesn't mean he's as good as those guys. It doesn't mean he's better than those guys, but it means that arm is going to pop. And Lincoln Riley, with, you know, he's proven when he has talent, he's going to get it out of him. And so this is going to be a year, I think, moving forward, that Spencer Rattler becomes a big time name. And yet I do, that doesn't mean that there won't be a game or two where, you know, maybe he has some freshman moments. There won't be a game or two where that defense lets him down. So I still think that this is actually a year, if you're in the Big 12, if you're going to get Oklahoma, you better get them this year, because Spencer Rattler's got at least another season after this one, if not two. And he's incredibly talented.
All right, final minute with Bart Simmons here from CBS, talking college football, 24/7 sports director of scouting. Justin Fields, what can he do this year, if anything, to increase his stock? Is there any chance that the arrow could be pointing down if he didn't get to play? Like, where's his window?
Yeah, I don't think – I mean, he is – to me, he's a top three – kind of lock right now, but I do think that there's a ceiling of number one. Like, I've thought that since he was in high school, and Trevor Lawrence was the better quarterback coming out of high school at that current stage in their development. But I always acknowledge this, and I always said this, that, you know, the Justin Fields is so much more on the early end of his development than Trevor Lawrence was, and he still is. And Trevor Lawrence has played so many more games than Justin Fields, and he's had so many more opportunities to just experience the quarterback position. And so as flawless really as that season was last year for Justin Fields, to think that was his first year as a starter, and he really only started kind of a year and a half, 2 years in high school. Meanwhile, Trevor Lawrence has been starting for 7 straight years, basically. And so when you look at it in that sort of lens and we think about Justin Fields' athletic elements and his size and speed and just the way he could continue to evolve in the nuances as a passer, I mean, I do think there's incentive for him to play and incentive for him to continue to develop and get those game reps. And I do think there is a ceiling of number one as the overall pick. But you know what? Trevor Lawrence looked awfully good in that week one. So that's a steep hill to climb for sure.
Yeah. Good stuff, Bart. Always appreciate you jumping on with your insight, man, and we'll be picking your brain again soon. Thank you.
You bet. Thanks, guys.